This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley for May.
Doesn't seem like it.
Busiest month of the year.
Is it?
Yep.
Why?
You know everything that goes on in the month of May?
Apparently not. Apparently nothing's coming to mind right now.
Huh? Did we talk about that already? You got your graduations. Of course, school winding down anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But for the seniors, it's graduation. For the other kids, it's kind of getting wound down to the end of school. For parents, that means, if my kids are young yet, now what do I do with them during the summer?
Yeah.
Now you got to start figuring out a plan.
Right.
Because that 9-month vacation you got from figuring out a plan is just about to end.
Yeah.
But on top of that, it's, you know, wedding season, and Mother's Day is next weekend.
Yeah.
You've got all kinds of things going on, not the least of them being the first big holiday of the summer season.
Mm-hmm.
You got Memorial Day weekend coming up not too far down the road. It's just busy. I mean, it's just jam-packed full of stuff here during the month of May. Now, not every one of those things might actually affect everybody,
mm-hmm.
but...
A lot of it, I'm sure, will.
A lot, yeah. Yeah, you might not run into all of those things.
But. Yeah, I think we have 3 graduations in one day, and they're all the same time frame.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. And it seems like most all of the schools around the area, almost all of them are graduating at the same time.
Oh, really?
For the most part, most of the seniors at most of the schools around the area are getting out their last day of school somewhere around the 13th. So they're only another, week and a half or thereabouts away from finishing up. And then graduation for a lot of them around the area is... 17th
yeah.
of this month. So it's all happening rather quickly.
Yeah.
And of course, I mentioned wedding season, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There's that.
There's that.
Although I'm old enough, I don't have to worry too much about that anymore.
Yeah.
You still have some friends that are...
I think we just had 2 right now that I can think of. One is actually this weekend, so then we'll have another one, I think, later in the end of June, and that might just be it.
So how many times have you been a bridesmaid? Let me just make it simpler for you. How many ugly dresses do you have in the closet?
Really not too many. Some of them have been kind of outdoor weddings, so we got to wear what we wanted. So not really. I can only think of 3 off the top of my head. But, they picked out dresses that we could wear for other occasions.
Really?
Well, that's what they tell you.
That's what they say at the time. Then you take a look at it and you go, yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, because I wear dresses like that all the time now.
But you know, when I'm 28 years old.
They weren't like hideous, ugly dresses.
Yeah.
They're all just kind of plain and
you just tell them at 28 years old, the likelihood of an 18-year-old asking me to prom
right.
is like nil. So,
yeah. Don't think I'll be wearing anything silky or...
Not going to happen.
I guess the time ever came, I have in the back of my closet. But.
So that's not just an old joke? About,
that you'll get to wear it more than
dresses,
once.
They're not ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Although I think one of my friends maybe turned my bridesmaid dress from my wedding. I think they just changed out a sash and was able to wear it to another wedding. So, hey, mine must have been a winner, I guess.
Double duty. Did you get to sell it?
No.
Oh, well. Best you can, yeah. I suppose. At least you have something left behind.
Yeah.
I mean, for guys, we don't have anything left behind. We have to rent a tux.
Right.
But it's rent a tux.
Right.
So there went like $75 or $100 out the window for a one-time thing, and you don't have anything left to show for it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't sell my dress. It's already cleaned in a nice little display box.
So it's kind of like rented, too. Because you're only using it one time.
Right.
That's pretty much it. Yep. You might as well have been able to give it back.
Yep. Somebody else should bring in a, don't touch. You can look. Don't touch. Keep your grubby bras off there.
When people say that about bridesmaids' dresses, they don't talk like that about a wedding dress. And
yeah.
You only wear that once.
Yeah, but it's a little different.
It is?
It's way different. It's okay. Your wedding dress. That's a bridesmaid dress.
It's your day.
Yeah.
Commemorates your day, not someone else's.
The wedding dresses are a bit more than the bridesmaid dresses. Mm-hmm.
I know when we got married, I still have, the tux was rented, of course, mm-hmm. but I still have pieces of it.
Oh, really?
Well, because I bought the top hat and cane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wanted the top hat and cane. I wanted mm-hmm. to go, Mr. Peanut style. So no monocle, though.
No
just,
monocle.
Just the top hat and cane. But, those you have to buy. So.
Yeah.
So I bought those. Yeah, I still have them. It was just a novelty. We didn't wear it during the service. We wore it a little bit for pictures before
right.
and leaving the church after, just kind of, having some fun.
But,
and we were in an old car, Ray McDermott gave us a ride from the church in his old, I think it was Model A, from the church, and we took a little ride around the area and then went out to the, what was the community center at that time. Now it's a funeral home. I hope that doesn't say anything about where we're going, but we did, yeah, so I thought, you know, it'd be kind of neat to have the top hat and cane in an old car like that, and so we took some pictures and things, so yeah, the top hat and cane, it's still, they're still together, leaning against the wall in the bedroom,
well,
kind
cool.
of a decorative
and have
piece
you,
now.
Have you worn them since?
A couple times for different things, but obviously nothing serious.
Right. See, at least you're getting use out of them then.
More than once.
Yeah.
So there you have it. So I guess you can take little pieces away from it. How do we get on to weddings?
I think you started it.
I don't know. I'm not too sure about that. But yeah, anyway, yeah. It's that time of the year. You know what else it is that time of the year? It's actually, May is beef month, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that next go around because, you know, it's a great month to have a designated meat month.
Oh, is there ever a bad month?
Well, you got grilling season just, you know, really getting into full swing now. But, you know, while May is beef month, and we'll talk more about that later, also May 1st opened up Best Breaded Pork Tenderloin Contest time. You're familiar with the Iowa Pork Producers Association's 13th annual Breaded Tenderloin Contest. We've had some winners around this area here, very local. They're doing it again. Last year, I believe this, last year when they did this contest, they had almost 1,900 nominations.
Jeez.
And 98 different tenderloin sandwiches had to be judged because of the nominations that they received. They're judged on pork quality, taste, physical characteristics, and the eating experience. The Lucky Pig Pub and Grill in Ogden was the winner last year. And we've had, like I said, we've had several winners here around the state, of course, over that 13-year period. But we've had a few of them here in this area, you know, up in Elkhorn and Brayton, and we've Hamlin. We've had we've had some right here in the backyard. But we've we kind of like our pork tenderloins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about a pork tenderloin. It's comfort food.
Fried.
Well, yeah, breaded and fried. That's the thing, and it usually comes with French fries.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you beat that for a meal? You like tenderloins, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Had my share over the years. Trust me. The lack of that six-pack in the midsection here kind of shows you where they all went.
It's not, what are you trying to say? It's not the muscular six-pack?
Not like it used to be, no. I think most guys would agree. Just nod their head about that point. Well, you can get online or you can do it the old-fashioned way. And nominate your favorite pork tenderloin sandwich. I had a chance to talk earlier in the week to Kelsey Suter with the Iowa Pork Producers Association about the contest. And, you know, when these when they do the entries, this year they're going to do it a little bit differently. Because last year, it was just, I think, if any place that got, like, at least three nominations.
That's how they decided to
go and do a site, do a site thing and judge them. That was too much, though. This year, what they're going to do is they're going to take the top five restaurants with the most nominations in each of the eight Iowa Pork Producers Association districts. So, like where last year they went out to 98 different places, that's a lot of places to have to go to. It's 40 now. So they've got top five in each of the eight districts. So that helps them a little bit. In getting around and doing all that stuff. Because the nomination period opened up on May 1st, just this past Friday, and the deadline is June 8th. So you have just a little, about 5 weeks to get those nominations in. You can find the May issue of the Iowa Pork Producer magazine. It'll have forms in there, or you can go to iowapork.org online and find an entry form, a way to do that online. The person who nominates the winning restaurant gets $100 from the IPPA. Now, the winning restaurant gets $500, a plaque, and a banner to display in their establishment. But, of course, the most important part is statewide publicity and bragging rights.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and they'll announce the winner during Pork Month in October. A lot of places take a lot of pride in their pork tenderloins, and we appreciate that.
Yeah. No complaints here.
None whatsoever. We really appreciate that. So, yeah, some good stuff. So be thinking about that. We all have our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, let's make it their favorite, too. The restaurants don't know when they're coming. They don't know that they've been nominated, and they don't know that they're coming. They only find out if they're a winner later on.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it should be. That way you're not giving them special treatment or...
Exactly. Yeah. They want to be served the same sandwich that they would get if they were just anybody else walking
right.
in. So, yeah. Neat. Fun stuff. All right. Anyway, we're done with that. Now I'm hungry.
Oh, we've always got some food things going on. And in Adair, it's the Adair County Historical Society's Chicken and Biscuit Dinner. It's on Sunday, May 3rd from 11 to 1. It's only $8 for adults, $5 for children 5 through 12, and then kids under 5 are free. They'll also be serving along with the chicken and biscuit dinner, vegetable slaw, cranberry sauce, and then bars, pie, and beverage. And that will be held at the Adair County Historical Museum in Greenfield. Again, it's the Adair County Historical Society Chicken and Biscuit Dinner on May 3rd from 11 to 1. The Atlantic Church of the Nazarene Revival Services continues on May 3rd with Frank Tiller and Linda and Larry Folk, and that's on Sunday, May 3rd at 10:40 a.m. Red Cross Blood Drive's coming up on Monday in Red Oak. It will be held from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Montgomery County Hospital. A free mobile food pantry will be held at the Atlantic Community Schools Commons area from 4 to 6 p.m. That is on Wednesday, May 6th, and it's for all Cass County residents. They're also looking for some volunteers, so if you'd like to come out and help distribute food and help carry some boxes out to people's cars, they'd appreciate that. And SWTA has volunteered their service and has agreed to pick you up at your home within city limits and take you back home. You do need to RSVP for that by calling 243-5369 and ask for Deanne or Natalie. Again, it's the Atlantic Community School District's free mobile food pantry, May 6th, at the Atlantic High School Commons from 4 to 6 p.m. The CAM Middle School Greenhouse will be open up on May 7th from 4 to 6, and then close in time for the 8th grade talent show, and then they'll open regular hours on Friday, May 8th from 3:30 to 5:30. And if there's anything left to sell, they'll open again on Saturday, May 9th from 9 a.m. to noon. They'll have lots of flowers, including wave petunias, mini hanging baskets and decorative planters, plus vegetable plants and several silent auction items. Now, the CAM Middle School Greenhouse is located in the bus parking lot in Messina. Again, it's the CAM Middle School Greenhouse. They're going to open up on May 7th from 4 to 6, just in time for the 8th grade talent show. And then they'll open on their regular hours on Friday, May 8th from 3:30 to 5:30. And if there's anything left, they'll open again on Saturday, May 9th from 9 to noon. Red Cross Blood Drive will be held in Exira on May 11th. That will be held from noon to 6 at the Exira Recreational Center. Then on Tuesday, May 12th, the Red Cross Blood Drive will be in Elkhorn. It's from 11:30 to 5:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. If you'd like to make an appointment, you can call Ann White at 764-5888. And, of course, walk-ins are welcome. Again, it's the Red Cross Blood Drive in Elkhorn, May 12th from 11:30 to 5:30. Also, next week is, a couple weeks, is the Shelby Auxiliary Unit 240. It's their Poppy Week starting May 11th, and that runs through May 16th. A Red Cross Blood Drive will be held in Atlantic on May 14th. That will be from noon to 6 at the Atlantic Catholic Parish Center. Again, it's the Red Cross Blood Drive in Atlantic on May 14th from noon to 6, and that will be held at the Atlantic Catholic Parish Center. We've got some alumni banquets coming up towards the end of May. The 114th Annual Fontenelle Alumni Banquet will be held on May 23rd. It's at the Nottoway Valley Middle School Gym in Fontenelle. It's a banquet for graduates of Fontenelle High School, Bridgewater Fontenelle High School, and Nottoway Valley High School. And this year's honored guests are the 2015 graduating seniors and also the 50-year class of 1965. Social time begins at 5:30, and they'll have their dinner at 6. Tickets are just $16, and they do ask that you purchase those by May 15th, and you can get those available at the Nottoway Valley Market, First National Bank in Fontenelle and Greenfield, Union State Bank in Bridgewater and Greenfield, and Fontenelle Drug. Against the 114th Annual Fontenelle Alumni Banquet, May 23rd, at the Nottoway Valley High Middle School Gym in Fontenelle. In Oakland, it's the Oakland Alumni Banquet on May 23rd in the new Oakland Community Building. Doors open at 5:30 and they'll be serving at 6:30. They'll also have some tours of the Oakland High School available from 4 p.m. prior to the banquet. And the graduating classes who have been out of the school for 10, 20, 25 years, etc. are going to be recognized. Tickets may be purchased at the Great Western Bank, which is the former Oakland State Bank, and Arbor Bank, which is the former Citizens State Bank, and the Oakland Pharmacy, and all in the Oakland area. The cost of the ticket is $16.50 per person, and they do ask that you reserve those by May 18th. All other inquiries for the banquet should be directed to 712-482-3511. Again, it's the Oakland Alumni Banquet on May 23rd in the new Oakland Community Building, and the doors open at 5:30, and they'll begin serving at 6:30.
Excellent. Yeah. Lots of stuff going on there. Got a few other things going on around the area, too, and I'll tell you what, we'll tell you about them right after we take this short break.
Whether you're a patient we're seeing regularly for chemo treatments, attending one of our diabetes clinics, or a couple about to have your first baby, at Cass County Memorial Hospital, we think about your health 365 days a year.
Hello, this is Emily Kringle, registered dietitian at Cass County Health System. Good nutrition is essential in meeting your overall health goals. Healthy eating can include any food in moderation and should include a variety of foods from all the food groups. As your clinical dietitian, I can help you use good nutrition to achieve your personal health goals. For an appointment, please call me at 712-243-3250.
Whether we're setting a broken bone in our emergency department or providing rehab services after a long illness, we're here to help you feel better. Cass County Memorial Hospital, neighbors caring for neighbors.
All right, time to get back to work. We promised you some more things happening around the area. Wasn't kidding. Coming up very soon, as a matter of fact, on Thursday, May 7th, this coming Thursday, rain or shine, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, along with the Cass County Conservation Board, will be releasing a couple of trumpeter swans over at Lake Anita State Park, and that'll be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday, May the 7th. It's real easy to get to Lake Anita State Park. If you live around here, you probably know where it is. But they're asking the public to come on out and enjoy this event because it's something that everybody can take advantage of. It includes a 20-minute swan wetland presentation, which is a unique opportunity as well to be able to touch and view the swans up close, and a photo opportunity with the kids. It's the largest North American waterfowl. You know, these things, they're all white. Of course, they can weigh up to 32 pounds with an 8-foot wingspan. You don't want to make them angry. I don't know that they get angry, though. They're pretty good about people, as long as you keep a little bit of distance there. But, yeah, they're hoping to be able to introduce a lot of those swans back into certain areas. And who knows? Maybe this time it'll stick. Maybe they'll stay. So, again, that's Thursday, May 7th at 2 o'clock at Lake Anita State Park, rain or shine, if you'd like to come see that. Let's see. Also, we have some other things going on. The Lutheran Church, that's the Anita Holy Cross Lutheran Church, will be having their Mother's Day Salad Supper, and that'll be on Wednesday, May the 6th, and that is at 6:30 p.m. The program is entitled Sweetness from the Lord, and the guest speaker will be Donna Brahms of 3B Farms. Again, that's a Salad Supper, Mother's Day Salad Supper, Wednesday, May 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Anita Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Couple of banquets coming up of note as well. The Cam Anita Alumni Banquet, May 23rd is the date at the Cam High School in Anita. They'll have a happy hour earlier at Crestwood Hills Golf Club, and then they'll have a meal and a program and things at the high school later on in the day. And if you want to make your reservations, do so before May 15th, and you can get a hold of Janet Maynard. If you'd like to know more, $16 is the price before May 15th, $20 after for per person. And you can get a hold of her either by mail or by phone. Get your reservations in. Again, that's on May 23rd. And then also, the Adair Casey 55th Annual Alumni Banquet and Meeting is scheduled that same night, Saturday, May 23rd. And that'll be at the Adair Casey High School. The Litterdale Country Store will cater that event. And that will include ham, chicken, beef, potatoes, vegetables, salads, and dessert all on the menu. $15 in advance for tickets or $20 at the door. The advance sales end on May 13th. You can get your tickets for the Adair Casey Alumni Banquet at the Exchange State Bank, Fay Pharmacy, Rolling Hills Bank, in Adair, or in Casey at the Rolling Hills Bank and the insurance store. So get that taken care of soon so you can be part of that fun. Also, another event that's coming up, it's still in the planning stages, but it's coming up actually very soon, on May 16th, that's a Saturday, it's the, are you ready to say it with me? You're not going to, are you?
I'll say it with you, but I can't remember the full name yet.
It's the Bada Bada Bing Bang Rally. It's just fun to say, isn't it?
Bada bada bing bang.
The bada bada bing bang rally. They were looking for some kind of different name to it, I guess. Something, something you'd remember. It's a military vehicle display. Steve Livengood is helping to coordinate that effort, though it'll include a number of tanks and trucks and all kinds of things that folks have a chance to experience. And there'll be a cruise during the event as well, so folks will be able to see it kind of in parade form. So look for more information as that comes around, but you might want to scratch out Saturday, May 16th on your calendar so you don't miss out on that opportunity. So lots of things going on here in the area coming up. Oh, another one, too, I wanted to throw out there. We talked about this before, but Rod Hoig, the former Elkhorn Kimbleton girls basketball coach, is trying to coordinate and organize a six-on-six girls basketball exhibition for as part of Tivoli Fest in Elkhorn this year, coming up later this month. He's looking for former players, coaches, officials, anybody who would like to participate to be involved from any of the area school districts, any of the communities around. So if you have any interest, you can get a hold of Rod. His telephone number, 515-249-8335. Again, that's 515-249-8335. If you'd like to know more or to get yourself signed up for that. It's just a fun thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, it's been over 20 years since the last 6-on-6 girls basketball championship was contested here in Iowa. So he's kind of thinking a lot of folks, that's an entire generation who never got a chance to experience that. So this might be their chance to at least kind of see what folks are talking about.
Yeah, I quit when it went to 5-on-5.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Just couldn't shoot the ball, huh?
Nope. That's a lot of running.
That's a lot
when you're used to the defense, yeah.
Okay, I got you. You got any birthdays over there?
I do. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Rose Mary Rainick, celebrating her birthday on May 1st, and also to James Kilpatrick, celebrating his birthday on May 2nd. Also, happy birthday to Catherine Stoneking, celebrating her birthday on May 3rd. So we'd like to wish happy birthday to all those folks over at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. A very happy birthday.
Excellent. I don't have any anniversaries over here to share with you this time around, nor do I have any baby announcements to report. So I can't help you with that so much either. Sorry, it's all I can do. We were talking about tenderloins earlier, breaded pork tenderloins. What do you put on yours?
Just kind of the basics, I guess. Lettuce, onion, pickles, ketchup, probably about it.
Tomato?
No.
Not so much?
Not a tomato
You're not
person
a tomato
unless
fan.
It's chopped up in salsa. Or...
So you don't grow tomatoes in the backyard either?
Well, I'd like to, and we'll see how the garden actually happens this year or not, but...
Just kind of depends.
Yeah. If I was going to grow tomatoes, it'd be for Mike. He likes to eat those.
Mm-hmm.
But for salsa, I would love to do salsa.
Oh, I have some friends who do that. Mm-hmm. They grow a lot of tomatoes, and then they'll chop them up and make their own homemade salsa.
Just for pico de gallo, or,
It doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, they end up handing us a nice little plastic tub of that, and it goes in our fridge, and it's, I mean, you know, and it's
addictive.
Well, the darn thing is it's not even like we're using, it's obviously not a meal.
Right.
We don't use it for a meal. You could, but we don't use it for a meal. And I'm not even sure it qualifies as a snack the way we use it. Because it just kind of ends up, we're standing around in the kitchen thinking, I'm kind of hungry. I got the munchies. And you just grab that, and you don't pour any in a bowl or put it on a plate.
Right out of the bowl.
It's just right out of the dish and with a bag of chips. And then the next thing you know, it's like, ooh, where'd it all go?
And you're scraping around the edges. And,
It's just, you know, poof, it's gone. It's got a magic power to it. So, good stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked earlier this week on my program a little bit about planting tomatoes, because we're into the time now where you can get those tomatoes planted, and a lot of folks, you know, have been doing tomatoes for a very long time, but there are some certain things that you should remember if you are maybe a first timer or you haven't done it in a while, but because tomatoes are a very, very popular part of gardens here in Iowa, and the folks at the horticulturalists at Iowa State University Extension and Outreach just wanted to make sure folks are having fun with that and still understand the, you know, what you need to do, but common questions. Number one, when can I plant tomatoes in Iowa? Well, around May 10th in central Iowa. That means us here in southern Iowa a week earlier. So we're there. So you can start planting just about any time now. Gardeners in northern Iowa, they have to wait a little longer, about a week after that, too. So they have to wait a little bit longer into May, but about June 20th, they say, is the last practical date if you really want to plant tomatoes and have a chance at them this year. What about, where do you plant them? I mean, where exactly should you go? Well, tomatoes do perform best in fertile, well-drained soils. So they would suggest that you avoid heavy clay soils and poorly drained sites. For the best yields, tomatoes need at least 6 hours of direct sun per day. To discourage septoria leaf spot, early blight, and other foliar diseases, they want you to plant tomatoes in different locations in the garden each year. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
They say, if possible, rotate the crops so that the tomatoes and other types of crops, like potatoes and peppers, are not grown in the same area for 3 or 4 years. If you don't have a suitable garden site, you can also grow tomatoes in large 4 to 5 gallon containers. Just put them on a sunny patio or a deck. You've seen those little, I don't even know what they're called, where you grow the tomatoes upside down.
Oh, like upside down, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. I've seen. I wonder if those work.
I don't get it, but they must work if they can sell enough of them.
Well, you know, you have to remember, though, too, there's a chunk of the country that these folks advertise to that don't have plots of land.
Yeah.
They live in big cities, in high-rise condos and apartments or whatever. They just don't have the space to have a garden, so this allows them to be able to do some of that, too.
Yeah.
But like I said, whether it works, I have no idea. Never really run into anybody who's done that before. There are a couple of terms with tomatoes that you should know. One is determinate. The other one is indeterminate. They refer to the tomato's growth habits. Determinate tomatoes are small, compact plants. They grow to a certain height, they stop, and then they flower, and they set all their fruit within a short period of time. So the harvest period for determinate tomatoes is around 4 to 6 weeks. Now, for indeterminate tomatoes, they grow fast. They continue to grow. They flower and they set their fruit until it's killed by the first frost in the fall. So the harvest from indeterminate tomato varieties often extends over a 2 to 3 month period. So the yields are generally heavier than the determinate types, but they are usually later to mature. The indeterminate tomatoes are also large, sprawling plants. So they perform best when they're grown in those wire cages, or you maybe put up sticks and things. I think you've seen a lot of those around.
Yeah.
What about good tomato varieties? Oh my, there are a lot of tomato varieties. There are some of the ones for Iowa that grow the best are called Better Boy, Big Beef, Brandywine, Carolina Gold, Celebrity, Cherokee Purple, Jet Star, Mountain Fresh Plus, Pony Express, Solid Gold, and Super Sweet 100, which are actually those little round cherry-type tomatoes. Mm. A lot of folks really love those. They can be a little bit sweet, too. You going to make it over there?
I don't think so.
Stacy has been a little bit under the weather here recently, if you can't hear it in her voice. So it's a little tough. And if you're planting tomatoes, just like planting anything else in a garden, spacing is always important. Mm-hmm. So you do need to make sure that you give them all a reasonable amount of space to be able to not just plant, but then grow into the space that they're going to need. Don't forget what's going to happen down the road. They say that it depends on the growth habit of that particular variety and the training system that you use. So the indeterminate ones that are staked, they can be planted about 1.5 to 2 feet apart in the row. Indeterminate plants grown in the wire cages usually need 2.5 to 3 feet, while a 3 to 4 foot spacing would be appropriate for some indeterminate tomatoes if you allow them to sprawl all over the ground and not cage them up. The determinate tomatoes can be planted 2 to 2.5 feet apart, but you space the rows about 4 feet apart just to be on the safe side there, too. So, tomatoes.
I'll stick with salsa.
You'll stick with a salsa? No, I'll slice them. I'll just slice them up, put a little salt on them, and eat them like that. But they are good on a tenderloin.
I'll take your word for it.
And a salad, and just about any place else.
Yeah.
All right, we better get out of here. You need to go get a drink.
I do.
You do. Of water.
Yeah.
That's all we have for you here this weekend. Hope you're enjoying your first weekend in the month of May. Better weather is always ahead this time of the year.
Hope so.
This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.